Wow.
Health, Science, and Energy Show. March. That's March 14th. 2008 tonight. How's everybody out there doing? It's Dr. Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, of course. What else health show did you expect it to be? Anyhow, I remember those of you that listened 2 or 3 years ago used to hear that sound a lot. That's an actual sound of a Pleiadian ship resonating at its 1,000 kilohertz rate with all the neat sounds that we've created at Paradigm over the years. Anyway, we got Michio Kaku coming on April 4th. We're excited about that. And we also have Verado coming on the 11th. And then we have a nice astrologer lady for the president who has a new show coming on too. So we got a lot of new things going on. And tonight we're going to cover some topics that we've been covering. And it's more and more important for people to understand the intensity now of this interference into our psyche by these programs. Especially, you know, remember the intelligence gathering program called Echelon, which you're all aware of by now, I'm sure. That's going, and of course, everything you say on the radio and the telephone and the computer is recorded. It's all done, and then of course, they're profiling people all over the place. It's completely out of control. There's a couple of strong movements on to impeach our executive branch, pretty much all of it now. I mean, it seems like Congress just can't stand up and do what they're elected to do. They seem to be afraid, which is kind of sad. In the case, I've seen several petitions go around. Keith Olbermann over at MSNBC has had some really good stuff. But I see people getting scared, crazy, people having huge bouts of depression. And by the way, you know, one of the day-to-day things that everybody needs is 402 nanometer light that will help you overcome a lot of this stuff. And we have a thing called the Bright Light that we sell at Paradigm. I think it's like $300, $400. It's not very much. That provides, you know, every day you need 15 minutes of 402 nanometer light if you're not out in the sun. And I know people in the south down here in Southern California aren't out in the sun that much because we don't have it for a couple months yet. It comes and goes. And even if it's here, a lot of people are behind their computers. And on top of that, our projector receptor program is very important, along with the flamethrower stuff that we do. Tonight I want to get into a little bit it was originally started out as Project Corona. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And later on, of course, it went into the much more advanced programs, the KH series of satellites, as they're called. And these, of course, are the ones that contain the equipment. It's amazing looking over the years, the sophistication that has taken place starting in the defense industry. And I remember when I first came on board, it was amazing. That would have been, when I really got in the defense industry, wasn't when I was at NASA. It was after I left, and that would have been about 1966 and a half. And a lot of the companies, like iTech, for example, Bell and Howell, a lot of my clients were working on, and they were well down the road working for the CIA. A lot of them were highly contracted by the CIA. I didn't even know it. I was working on classified projects by supplying instrumentation a lot in those days, and it was only as of recently when some of this declassification has taken place on the earlier programs that I realized a lot of my clients and friends were top CIA operatives and, you know, and science operatives in these different companies. Of course, ITEC was one of the biggest ones of all. ITEC was formed back in the late 50s, and it was really interesting. A guy named Leghorn started it, and when he started, his name was Richard S. Leghorn. He was a World War II reconnaissance pilot. For a while, he had a real interesting background. For a while, he actually parachuted behind the lines and got into the Third Reich and infiltrated the intelligence community in the Third Reich. And he was one of these swashbuckling guys that came forward and later on started working with Edwin Land and, of course, James Killian. These are names that go back in those days. You might look them up. Richard Bissell, of course, was a big player in those days. He was the director of the CIA. Now, he did some stupid things like try to assassinate people like a little static here tonight. Come on here. I don't have time for static. So anyway, he tried to assassinate some of these Cubans, Fidel Castro, with a exploding cigar, you might remember. So he did some funny things, but he was also in charge of the Corona launch programs. And back in those days, the U-2, which only flew 24 missions over Russia, was a very interesting airplane, and it had some high-tech, high-efficiency cameras in it. Of course, Fairchild was one of the manufacturers of it, and later on, ITEC took over out of Boston. So it was real interesting seeing how this development started. And then later on, a lot of people don't realize that the Polaroid Land camera was named after Edwin Land. He was a very powerful security cleared individual who was a right-hand man to President Eisenhower in those days. And then there was another guy by the name of General Bernard Shriver who led the Air Force into space. And he's the guy that put our first missiles up. He was a college graduate. Very instrumental in the space program. I hope the static doesn't go. I'm going to have to start cleaning my equipment better. Hopefully we'll not have to start this over again. Anyway, so these are the kinds of things that started out our programs in the old days. And it was very interesting for me because I didn't know, you know, I was supplying actual instrumentation. There was like 10 to 12 launches that were done in the Corona program. But primarily because the U-2, and it got shot down in I think it was 1959. Well, it was the Russians were always trying to shoot it down, but finally in 1959, they actually got up there and got to it when Francis Gary Powers was flying it. And that was kind of unfortunate because it almost ruined a summit in Paris that Khrushchev and Eisenhower had put together. So the programs, you know, sort of got off to a kind of a rocky start, you might say. And I was sort of there, but not really tuned in. I was in the second generation of programs. I was all over the place with it. But it was really amazing because I knew in some of these programs, some strange things were always going on. But I never could figure out what they were. And as this declassification began to take place, and I began to recognize some of the names of the people that I actually worked with, like some of the ones I just mentioned, then things made had a different light on the program. And then I remember a long time ago when I met Pat Flanagan, I had talked to Pat about and the Neurophone was a very interesting piece of work. And I remember attaching it to the bottom of my feet over at his ranch in Tucson, Arizona. And it was a device that connected to the bottoms of your feet, and it modulated at the frequency rate of the human central nervous system. And we had worked on a similar thing, another scientist and I, for Peter Tompkins, years ago, who wrote The Secret Life of the Plants, where we were able to use a spectrum analyzer to look at a plant, at the central nervous system. Now, here at Paradigm, we have spectrum analyzers. We use them here. We can connect to a plant. We can connect to a human body. And a spectrum analyzer looks at the spectrum of the human aura. And when you're looking at the spectrum of the human aura, what you're not looking at a normal signal. In other words, alternating current and ELF, which we talk about, those signals, the spectrum of those signals, are not the same as looking at a spectral analysis of a human aura or a plant or a dog or a cat or a bird or anything else. When you start looking at the vibratory frequencies of a plant or a human being, you're not looking, for example, if you're looking at the alternating current coming out of a plug, it's a sinusoidal wave. It's very clean. It goes positive, makes a big curve up and over across the screen, comes down through the center of the screen, goes down below the center of the screen, continuing from the left to the right, making a sinusoidal waveform. And you see one of those cycles every 60 seconds. Okay, so it's at 60 cycles per second. Actually, 60 of those per second. Sorry. And then you can double that. You can get 120 cycles per second. Or the military, they use 400 cycles per second typically. So these are the kinds of things that we look at with a normal oscilloscope, but not with a spectrum analyzer. What a spectrum analyzer does looks at multiple signals and multiple signals modulating in themselves, meaning if we were to look at modulate a 60-cycle signal with a microphone, well, it would create a beat frequency because 60 cycles happens to be the bass note of the human voice anyway, so we wouldn't see much. But if we turn that frequency of that to a 1,000 cycles per second, where you start hearing like the sound of a Pleiadian ship, like that, and you start modulating. As a matter of fact, you can hear that beep, beep, beep in that sound. You'll hear it go beep, beep. Okay, that's a modulated signal. That's a more complex waveform. And then you hear it shift phase. Now I hear it shifting phase. You hear the phase shift. It's quite clear. And then it'll come back and it'll warble around to another frequency. And as it modulates and moves and warbles around, that creates a spectrum of frequencies, and that's what our spectrum analyzers are capable of looking at, and that's what we look at on the human body. And when we start looking at the spectrum of the human body, for example, what happens is we'll see different frequencies and different spectrums, which we can actually photograph that. We have this comes out on a screen like an oscilloscope, and we put a camera on it. That's no problem. Just going to have to fight this thing all night long, this microphone connection, but I apologize for that. Don't have time in the middle of a show to fix it. So anyway, as you start looking at the spectrum, different personalities, which remember once again, we talked about this way back, has to do with the iron flowing through the blood, and the iron flowing through the blood causing a modulated result of that spectrum coming from your aura creates your fingerprints. And it's also comes before you even talk or even have a personality per se on the outer world. It happens on the inner world when you're still in the womb. The bottom line, it does happen. There is an electromagnetic spectrum glued right there, actually imprinted right into the human soul, and each one has a different frequency. And so finally, when we get out to the outside, we are able to look at this phenomenon and identify certain kinds of people and characters or even plants or different species of animals by the spectral analysis of the human seen on the spectrum analyzer. They're made by Agilent and formerly Hewlett-Packard. It's the unit that makes these things. So I've been working with spectrum analyzers most of my life, and so what happens is when you look at that frequency and you look at the Neurophone that Pat Flanagan had developed, it was very unique in the fact that it was able to replicate a part of the human spectrum that coincided with the human voice and sound frequencies. But it had not just sound alone, just a human word alone would not, or a music sound wouldn't go through the body. It had to be put on a multiple complex carrier, which is a full spectrum frequency. And so this became known as a neurophone, okay, a neurophone. And this particular method of technology was developed by Pat. It was back in the 60s, I remember when he developed that, got a patent on it. And, of course, the military had a tremendous interest in it. I used to hammer on him all the time, and he finally obliged when he had some other people get involved with his company, because he was like me, had too many inventions and not enough time to sell any of them. But they finally did get it out to deaf people, allowing people that were totally deaf that have never heard before to place this on the bottom of their feet and actually hear sounds in the brain. It's the most amazing thing. And you can even buy, you can look him up on the internet. I think they're about $800 now. They used to be several thousand, like 5,000. Now they've mass-produced them. And you can get one of these things for around $800, or $849 last time I checked. So anyway, that's a form of technology. Well, the technology began to be, as the satellite programs moved along, and they moved rather slowly at first because the Discoverer ships that were supposed to, there was 10 Discoverer programs, about eight or nine of them either blew up or flew off course, or they couldn't recover the satellites with these iTech cameras in them, so they didn't get very far for a long time. It was clear into the 60s before they actually were able to launch. This is all, these things were launched over at Vandenberg Air Force Base. Those of you that remember those tremendous launches that we used to see, I used to go over there sometimes and watch them put these babies up. It was really, really a spectacular thing to see these things going into orbit. And the technology kept moving on. It kept getting more and more intensified as far as the cameras going, the launches going. And then finally, the technology reached a second level. It was no longer about taking pictures as much per se, which they still do, obviously. The technology then shifted to what was called Project SAMOS, S-A-M-O-S, where they decided to, the CCD had been developed. That's a little chip that they use in all your video cameras. That had gotten was actually developed back in the 60s, but it started to become of some use. And so now we were able to go to real-time visual spying and observation to where we're at today. And you turn in NASA.tv and you'll see all kinds of live stuff from space and looking down at the Earth. So, I mean, it's come a long ways, obviously. But in the process of coming a long ways, after STS-38 1990 with the Atlantis shuttle, we started putting a new breed of satellites into orbit. The KH series. And the KH series was a new intelligence type of satellite. But now what we were able to do is where they were able to look at frequencies, different frequencies in the human, rather than just looking as an optical observation. Now we were able to make an electronic observation and begin to interpret different frequencies from space of the auric frequencies of human behavior. Of course, this stuff is quite classified, as you might imagine, and you'll have a real problem finding out more about it. But as you look around, on the internet, look around in some of the history of some of the things that went on, you'll start seeing a basic footprint of what I'm talking about tonight. And evidently now it's gotten it's come quite a long ways. It's not where it was before. It's now come tremendous steps have been made. And now the technology of the neurophone technology has been made where it doesn't take a physical connection any longer, but now it can be done directly through the air. It can be transmitted via microwaves. The KU band, well, I started on the UHF and VHF, that's ultra high frequencies and very high frequencies. It started there, and it's come a long way since then. Now it's highly directable by the much higher frequencies going way up into the gigahertz spectrum. Then it became, the next thing, when you get up into gigahertz, now you're up with a very short wavelength device. And what happens is, when you're up there with this very short wavelength device, you're able to, it becomes very direct. It's almost like a laser. As a matter of fact, we're getting up into the laser frequencies. When you get into something like a laser or those higher frequencies, the laser is quite directable. You could take, for example, a human or a target about the size of a human being, and you could arrange for a very, very tight beam, laser beam, and you could get 10 or 20 or 30 miles away or 40 miles away with enough power and direct that beam right onto a person. You could put two spots of light on a person from 10 or 20 miles, depending on how clear it is. Of course, it's easier to direct it down from space because the air is very thin to none in space, and as it comes down, you only have to go through a direct, last couple of miles of dense atmospheres. Whereas if you're down here doing line of sight, your entire 10-mile period is very dense air, and it's going to defocus the beam quite a bit. But so it depends on how it's used. But when you use this stuff in space, when you start going up into space, it's quite easy to direct this down into someone's head. And so if you use two beams going into someone's head, and these two beams are modulated, in other words, between each of the beams, with in other words, using the frequency of the, like an audio frequency between the two beams, you can create an actual sound in somebody's head, or you can not only create a sound in there, it's a kind of a neurophonic device, but rather than using the human body and the spectrum of the human body, we're using two beams modulated with a modulation. In other words, the comparison, I guess, would be if you had a green laser and a red laser, and you wiggled the green laser a little bit and you wiggled the red laser a little bit on a target. The wiggling would be reduced to the intelligence. So if you made three little green wiggles and two little red wiggles, you'd have a summation of five motions of light. So that would be transmitted over to sound, and using the modulating frequency on the microwaves themselves, the beams, you can now get inside somebody's head. And so this is exactly where the experiments went all about 30, 35 years ago. And if you remember, we talked a few weeks ago about the intelligence organizations, how far they were along in 30 years ago when we had Dr. Colin Ross on, and the previous show before that where I went into a lot of facts. So what happens now is once this process starts to take place, people begin to get nervous, and they start to do stupid things. Case in point, we've talked about schoolyard shootings. A lot of these have taken place. We don't know who or what target, has been used. We don't know for a fact that Stephen Kasmerak the other day in Illinois was a target of that. But he was definitely a target of something. And a long time ago, we were more generalized when we were talking about this phenomenon. And in generalization, we mentioned that Big Pharma was using cyclohexane, and piperidine in their concoctions, and then with that in use, directing beams, reptilian energies from satellites, I used to say. Well, now we're a little bit more specific, causing people to do funny things, and that's what's going on now. And that technology is becoming very sophisticated, and I'm sure a lot of them are more. Now, once that sophistication takes place, then what happens is we have projects. In other words, we have things like what's called the Blue Beam Project. And the Blue Beam Project is where satanic energies are placed on people. A lot of negative energies, prophetic energies are placed on people. So when satanic people get their energies, they do their crazy things. They start painting their bodies up and acting strange. People are singled out. And this, by the way, these programs aren't just administered from space. They're oftentimes administered on the ground with ground units, small vans that carry antennas around in them that do close-up work. And that goes on a lot. And the antennas aren't, like the old days, sitting on top of the trucks. they're inside now because the trucks are using a material. They're using carbon fiber and a lot of materials that are non-metal. They look metal because of the way they paint them, but in fact they're not metal. And when they use these materials, they're able to direct their beam energies. And of course, then they sort out people, as we know. They sort out people, and I'm sure that Project Echelon, where they connect all of audio and written data, transmitted computer data information, is going into those giant computers and analyzed and scrutinized. From there, they get the government is getting selective now, and of course, you see what happens. It's kind of sad that the people in this country are afraid of the government. That's very sad because they shouldn't be, but they are. In other countries, like France and Germany and other countries now, free world countries, it's becoming quite noticeable that the Americans are afraid of their government. If you look at the French government, for example, which has, you know, health care programs where you pay nothing. Matter of fact, sometimes Americans move out of the United States because they have health problems and they're immediately picked up by the French or the Canadian programs and pay nothing. Our entire health industry in this country is based on greed, as you know. Exorbitant prices are charged. For example, the little air breather that people with asthma people have to use. It's a little aerator that gives them a little blast of energy and oxygen. And these things sell for up to $120. When you go down to Cuba, they cost... So anyway, I mean, it's a joke what they're charging people price-wise. It's just a literal, sad joke. And so the health care is out of control. It's filthy rich in this country, and we have to be aware of it. The next, you know, another area, now when you get into the Blue Beam Project, another area, people aren't quite getting it yet, but the people that do channeling and do intuitive work, a lot of times are not using their own emotions anymore. They think they are, but they're not. And there's a tremendous amount of misinformation being fed right into a human being's head. It's quite sad that this goes on now, but this, in fact, is starting to happen. So this technology, if you were a channeler and you were doing this 30 years ago, you probably can reference the same feelings that you had back then. But realize in the experiments that have been done in all the laboratories by civilian companies under government monies for many, many years, starting back in the Tuskegee experiments in 1933 and coming forth from there, we must realize that a lot of this information that these newer channelers are getting and people that supposedly suddenly have this high aspiration within their own nature could be coming from an outside source. And you would absolutely not believe the technology that's around to allow this process, this diffusion process, to take place. It's quite interesting. Well, as everybody knows, I started to realize that this was coming, but I had no idea it was going to be this powerful. And I also had no idea that the extraterrestrial technology was going to be integrated into it. And, of course, we all know that Area 51 was, taken out by Kelly Johnson, was set up back years ago to land the U-2s and later on the SR-71s and the spy planes and the F-117s and all the planes that were developed out there. But at the same time, it became a collection area for a lot of alien technology that had been discovered and captured and brought in and recovered and retrieved. And so all of that began to integrate into the satellite technology that we're using today. So with that in mind, it's a different world out there. I remember one of the first things that we developed to stop that, besides our star orb over at Paradigm, was the device called the Portamid. And it was real interesting because I've had several clients that are on SSRI reuptake inhibitors that were seriously paranoid schizophrenic and required a lot of medication, a lot of it. We were able to take several of these types of people, and we didn't recommend they go off their medication. Their doctors had to do that. But we would place them in the Portamid. This is 15, 20 years ago. And all of a sudden, the voices in the heads would stop. this strange pressure that they felt on their souls, as they described it, went away. And they felt what they described, what they thought was normalcy. So that was like an indication years ago of the fact that this was possible and that these Ortamids could, in fact, block these twin beam type beam weapons, and or not weapons, but, you know, we could call them influencers, or electronic harassment would be another way of looking at it. But it's really beyond that. When you start playing around with a person's psyche, and of course, one of the people in the government that did this research, I remember what his statement was: you don't own your own personality. People don't own their own personality. And that's a pretty powerful statement when somebody comes along and says that. So, you know, these are the kinds of things that I like to talk about and share with you. So now, there's a lot of interest in our projector systems and receptor systems, and it's really interesting. Today I had to have Mikkel go out to Las Vegas because we had to check into a company called De Beers. Evidently, our pyramids, I mean our receptors and projectors, patents applied, protected, 14-year patents, we built a mark. The name projector receptor is copyrighted, and Paradyne is copyrighted and protected worldwide. But at the same time, when you become a mark or a trade, the name Paradyne has now become, because of the performance, has become something that a lot of jewelers recognize all over the place, not just in the United States but in other countries. And as a result, we have become a brand. Well, now that we're a brand, some companies like De Beers tried to take some of our technology and use it, not exactly copying this technology. But when you look at the largest diamond company in the world, and you suddenly see that in their store, their primo number one store over in Caesar's Palace has devices that look similar to our receptor, and people start calling us from there and saying, we think we're seeing your stuff made by someone else. Obviously we have to go out and get information on that, take photographs. By the way, they wouldn't let us take photographs when she was over there. She was not, but she did get the brochures. And of course, I'm connected to the largest patent firm in the world, so they'll take this into consideration, and we may have a claim against De Beers. So obviously this technology that we make, I don't know if they understand the merit of what it does. They may actually, who knows, or even part of what it does. In other words, you could duplicate part of one of our devices and get a partial effect on the human body. But this is covered by patents, and we will enforce them. But the bottom line is, it's kind of a two-edged sword. Now it seems that these big companies are starting to become aware that there's something going on out here with the devices that we're seeing. Because remember, we've been making these since 1981, so that's a long time. And so anyway, it's real interesting to see what's going on, and there's obviously an effect. So as far as how negative all this stuff goes, you know, as far as these things we talk about, am I worried about fascism becoming a staple in this country? No, I'm not. Am I worried about the government taking over and the one world order becoming successful? No, I'm not. Because at a certain point, the vibratory frequencies that these new age devices, not only ours but some of the others, emits, is going to have a permanent brand on the human aura and allow it to grow, even in the case of the subversive effects that are out there. These governments have used our products. They know what they are and what they do. And there's nothing they can do about stopping them, because, you know, they're there and they're coming out. And if they made a visible attempt to thwart the distribution of them, that would be a huge admission of guilt on their part. So you won't see that happening. And that will just drive our sales through the roof. So even if we had to manufacture them offshore. So anyway, you can see now we're starting to see on a corporate level some games starting to play. paradigm is becoming a well-known household word out there in many countries as to the goals of this company. And now we're just talking about the receptor at this point, because the receptor is going to put an energy field on the human body that's going to disallow the dual beam function of these spy satellites and disallow the control of the human aura by some remote means. It will reject that, because as you see in our little, we have a little manual, if you've never read it, comes with the product, but it explains how you get an auric offset with these kinds of frequencies, because they all have to work through the human aura. They all have to work through the signature of the spectrum, the electromagnetic spectrum of the human aura, which is very real. It's formed by the synapses in concert of the brain working with the auric footprint and fingerprint of the human body. So these devices allow us to maintain a balance, and we don't hear all these voices in our head and all these strange things, because they're not, it's not going to happen. If we do, it's a direct ET contact, because they're tuned in on Pleiadian frequencies and Andromedan frequencies and frequencies of an order of being that is not on a control level. If you start looking at the molecular structure of the blood, for example, of controlling factions, you're going to see it to be a tetrahedron design, which emits a certain spectrum, like, for example, a praying mantis or a gray. Whereas if you look at, or a plant, even a plant is, can be controlled, because it has a, chlorophyll has a tetrahedral structure, similar to the blood in a green blood in a gray. But when you start looking at a octahedral structure, which is a human red blood cell, and you do the test, we have a test where you breathe a poison like glue or cigarette smoke, and we muscle test you, and you test strong even though you're breathing this glue or cigarette smoke. As a matter of fact, most people test stronger wearing the receptor when they're in this testing phase than they do without it. When you see that happen, you realize what's going on. So obviously, some beam directed at you from 10 miles or more away is going to have a much less effect on you and require less from the receptor than getting rid of the fact of some toxic glue that you might be breathing doing a muscle test up close, which would in fact put you out of your body in 10 or 20 minutes if you continue to breathe it. So we've proven, we made a mark with that product. Now, the next thing that we're going into now is the projector. And of course, a lot of people, at first we always told people, you need to, we think it's smart if you were aware of the receptor first. Well, most people did that, but some didn't. Some went directly into the projector, and some had very good results with it, and some of them it flipped them out. So they become ungrounded, not sure what they were doing, things like that. So we were able to ground them out by showing them in their environment. We would place a star orb, which is important, you know, in your house, which gets rid of the ELF in the wires in your house and the weird energies that float around the spectrum. Remember, the star orb, when it works with ELF, is working with spectrum frequencies that are negative. There's a lot of, you know, things that have, you know, a wasp stinging you has a negative aura, okay? Different creatures that are more attacking in the attack mode or predatory mode, high predatory mode, especially towards humans, usually have a certain special specified frequency on their auras that is highly disturbed by the human, and that's why they will attack a human being. And that's kind of how that works. So when we get into the projector, it's a different animal. It's working on quantum entanglement. It's not working on auric offset. Quantum entanglement is, you know, not only all your past life connections, but it's all your future connections. Once the entanglement process begins, and the future intentions can be made by as easily as making a wish, a determined wish, not a whimsical one, but a determined one, one long enough and strong enough to hold enough energy in place so that it follows thought. As soon as the energy starts to follow thought, then thought process enables photons in the brain and synapses to fire off at higher rates of speed that give off light, which are photons, and then the entanglement process takes place quite easily. It usually occurs on the photon level first, and then it drops down to the electron level, because the photon is actually emitted from the electron under certain behavioral ways. So when people come to me, they often ask, well, where do I start? And I always tell them a receptor, but when you get into the projector technology, like Steve Barish, people like that, Valerie Olmsted, all these other people that are using it, they're demonstrating a very forward series of features of what it's capable of doing. And because they haven't been around that long, just a little over a year now, it's pretty improbable that we know everything there is to know about them. We practically don't know anything. So they're probably a much safer bet when you want to come to certain types of protection, but we're not sure quite the interaction between one device, which is a scalar wave transmitting device, the other is a quantum entanglement device. They are both different. They're definitely both different. Now, some people will use them together, and others will use them separately. I prefer to use them separately because the receptor, which is the device that I normally use because it's very polluted down here in Southern California, keeps the DNA from despiraling. It keeps it respiral. It puts that respiraling effect out, just like you were getting in your before you were born, at pre-birth, you know, in the fetal stage. Whereas the projector, in a way, despirals the DNA, but it doesn't really despiral it physically. It despirals the DNA into the fourth dimension. So what it does is that it makes the properties of the aging process, you know, which the receptor is slowing down, it makes the process of the aging process negligible into the actual lifespan of a being. And so that's why when you get into those marriage of those two technologies, you begin to understand why Pleiadians live, you know, 800 to 1500 years, and Andromedans have a lifespan of up to 5000 years, because they use these technologies. Remember, the receptor was a gift more or less from the Pleiades, and the projector was 100% Andromedan. So these are the way. This is the difference in the two programs. So we have a lot of fun with this stuff. Then we get into the standalone process. And hang on, I got to adjust my wire here again. We're down here in Laguna Beach. We really have a lot of corrosion that goes on these cables, and I'm sitting on my microphone systems here and fighting this cable here. I'm trying to get through this program without too much interruption to the content of the program, and once again I apologize for this thing. Hang on here. There, I think it's a little bit better. So anyway, now we're starting. It takes time to get this technology out in my new book, which I get constant interruptions on the inside track. I guess the interruptions are doing a good thing because the book's getting more content now than it had before. So slowly but surely, the book's evolving. I've never written a book this way before. Normally, I would go off somewhere and sit in some quietude, but that doesn't seem to be possible right now. So I'm kind of running my business and doing these lectures and still writing on a book.
Yeah.
There, hopefully that's a little bit better. So then we get into what we've done. Also, we've added the 402 nanometer violet laser. This is amazing. And also we added that we hooked up with a company called Brightlight, and we carry their products. They're on the front page of the Pyridyne website. And so with that in mind, we were able to start looking at depression. Now, obviously, there's a chemical imbalance in the body, but a lot of it is because of there's too much serotonin in the body in the first place. And that's because the reuptake of these drugs, which is not good. So I don't encourage these reuptake inhibitors, because what happens is, if you've ever seen anyone on angel dust over a period of time, they basically go crazy. I've never seen an exception to that, depending on how much angel dust they absorb. Everybody does. Eventually they become suicidal, and I've never seen anybody that became suicidal on these drug conditions with these piperidine cyclohexane derivatives in their body not become homicidal on top of it. And back in the early days when I was working with the drug rehab programs, we worked with heroin, angel dust, crack cocaine, and Valium. We were taking people off of these drugs. It was really a little scary sometimes when you see a mixture of these concoctions and then alcohol thrown in, how crazy people got. And believe me, I have disarmed people years ago that were quite capable of doing some major damage. I've disarmed, taken shotguns and knives both away from people in our clinic. So I'm not new to this. I'm a veteran of it. And a lot of people, after 5 years of doing that, I couldn't do it anymore. It's a burnout. But having gone through the experience, it allows me to see how our society today, what it's embanked itself upon with all these new sneaky ways of adding the drugs. And, of course, even back then, we didn't have the satellite technology and the other microwave technology that was being used. It was being developed, but it wasn't used. Now it's being used. It's very, very important to understand that. The other thing that we've done, now when you get into the 402 nanometer lights, this little thing that we have, the bright light device, it takes about 15 minutes of that to put the proper wavelengths back into the body. It also helps grossly on the assimilation of vitamin D. Because without vitamin D in your body, you're not going to absorb calcium. And calcium is a very powerful ingredient, not only for building strong bones, but also for building strong nerves. And calcium and vitamin D also work very much in conjunction with the B complex. So we don't just need light and receptors and projectors. You need a good, stable vitamin balance. And as I've said in my earlier shows, a lot of these vitamin companies are in it for the money. And so the assimilation factor on about 98% of the vitamins out there is zero, or zero to maybe 10% at the most. So we don't want that. So you need to have really good nutritional products. And that's why we developed the full spectrum line of the pyramid paradigm products, because it's a highly assimilable vitamin formula with vitamin D in it that the body needs to keep all the nutrients on a key level. Now, the other thing is we added amino acids to these formulas because we found years ago when we were developing the radome that a lot of body systems were in atrophy, meaning they weren't being used because of toxins, mental laziness, lack of exercise, lack of oxygen in the body. So when people started using the radome and the receptor, these systems came alive again, and the nutritional input to the people that were consuming, you know, different types of nutrition was not high enough in a lot of cases to get the output. So people would say, oh, I've used this radome for 3 or 4 months and I don't get the concentration that I did. I don't get the attention span enhancement that I got. I don't get the alpha state going into instant alpha state that I got. It's not working as well. And we found that amino acids like lysine and arginine were deficient now because these produce vasopressin, and these products will stimulate the utilization of vasopressin. Vasopressin is a hormone in the body that's a pituitary hormone, just as one example, that when you have it in your system, it creates a spectral frequency and it creates a feeling in the body of euphoria and motivation and drive, just the opposite of what you're going to get taking these horrible drugs that are on the market. So when you begin to understand what we're all about and what we've been doing, it makes a lot of sense. The other thing that's very important is to have the electrolytes present. Because you're dealing with electronic transmissions, and you need to have electricity for that, and that's what the electrolytes do. And that's why the Fotai Ginseng and Gotokoa products that we have are really well. And, of course, now we have the new product called the Shawutsi. The Shawutsi that we have in our product line, and we have it's called a gourmet store now, and I'm adding 12-year-old balsamic vinegars and things that really, really do amazing things to your body. We're starting to add to our product line in the gourmet store, but the Hoshawu, the Shawutsi that we have, is a interesting product. It's hard for the Chinese to get that in here because the FDA has always kind of wondered what that was. You know, they've had to change the name. They've called it food vinegar. They've had a million different names for it. But the bottom line is, it's the product that was that the Japanese were taking during World War II that allowed them to withstand the tremendous radiation of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki blasts and not be affected by the radiation. So it's a perfect marriage to use with the meditation products, especially, although some people report that they get a little high using it. And the reason they feel a little bit high is because it's a good thing, by the way. It's because the electrolytes are completely balanced. When you use it with a Pirlo, it's amazing. And it balances the electrolytes to such a level that when the receptor is worn, the pyramids are worn, the projectors are utilized, the enhancement of the electromagnetic, electrical fields of the body is tremendous. The eyes get better. Everything seems to work a lot better, but a lot of people do like the buzz. It does produce slight buzz because those good, strong, pure herbs will do that. The Pirlo will also produce kind of a buzz, too, but nothing like the Shawutsi. The Shawutsi is also called an elixir, and it's tremendous with the Chrysilodome. I mean, the Chrysilodome was made for this product. You think that you'll notice it on using a receptor or a projector. Wait till you get a Chrysilodome on your head, and then you're really going to fly. But the bottom line is, it's protecting you. It keeps you from, being affected by these negative effects that are going on out there. And it's really an important thing to understand. We'll be adding more products, but right now we need to educate everybody. And the other thing I want to finish up, we do now have a source finally for the ultraviolet laser, the 402 nanometer lasers. And we're using them with crystals in our systems, and they're amazing. And I had the 402 nanometer laser is probably the most expensive one to get because of the technology is just getting there to make them, but they are now quite easily affordable by most. We have different ones, different powers, different price ranges. And remember, they produce the SPDC effect when they shoot into the large standalone projector. And the SPCD effect is a spontaneous enhancement of entanglement. So the entangling process is greatly enhanced with the ultraviolet laser. And this can really cause a feeling of euphoria to prevail, which a lot of people don't seem to really mind. I don't mind it at all. I use these my systems every day. I've been using them for years, and I have no intentions of stopping them. And it's always fun to go into somebody's house that doesn't have any of this stuff, none of it, and notice that how flat the feeling is. It's just they can have the best furniture in the world, the best everything, and even have their feng shui set up pretty nicely with our mirrors in the right place and everything properly attuned, but the house still feels flat. And once you come, by the way, we're announcing our June seminar now. And so I think that's in the first weekend of June. I think it's the 5th and 6th. I'm not sure of the dates yet. It'll be up on the web pretty soon. Those of you that come to the seminar will get to come into our systems, come into the living room, into the vortex, and you will be able to experience these things firsthand. So we're kind of getting towards the end of the program here. If you have any questions, you can email me at fredbell@paradigm.com. Of course, our phone number, I'm sure most of you know it, but some of you don't. Out of the country, it's 1-949-499-2603. And Canada and United States, continental United States, the phone number is 1-800-729-2603. And we have strange hours here at Paradigm. We work really late. We start late. Sometimes we start early. So sometimes you won't, and we get a lot of phone calls, so you may get an answering machine, but we get back to everybody. And don't worry, this company's been around for 33 years now. We take care of everybody. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with what goes on in the business and all of that, but overall everybody gets taken care of, and we apologize for any late delivery. Sometimes What usually holds us up on late deliveries is our my suppliers. And we realize I'm in the market of Southern California. It's a polluted environment. And people don't function properly down here. In our quality control, we have a certain standard. So sometimes things are made and I have to send them back, and that delays things. But overall, we're doing pretty good with that. Seems to be getting better. So anyway, I look forward to seeing everybody or hearing everybody. BBS is making some great strides now. I think in the near future we'll probably have some form of TV, internet television coming. I can feel that we're going in that direction. And the new book is coming along. We're going to be in New York at the end of this month. Those of you that are back there, come and see us. And the last weekend of New York, we'll be at the New Life Expo. And then in April, we're going to be at the New Living Expo up in San Francisco. And then we're going down to Florida in April, too. The latter part of April, I think, we'll be down in Florida. And we're going to be up in Mount Shasta, a big deal up there. It's on our website. We're going to have a big deal up there. And that will be in July. And then, of course, June, we have our own seminar here. I'm not going to do these shows like I am right now. Next year, I'll probably cut the shows down in half. I only wanted to go out and experience this a little bit and get in touch with the people. Now that I've done this, this is the second year I've been doing shows, I will probably stop doing a lot of shows next year. We'll probably do half of them. I always want to get out and do a few of them. So anyhow, I hope you enjoyed the show. This has been Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, the ultimate show, where we have more fun. And I think the Pleiadian spaceship should be firing up here. Maybe it's not going to fire up. I don't know. We'll see. Guess I don't have it queued up right now. But anyhow, we'll have a great show next week. Catch my sidekick show Saturday afternoon, Steve Barish, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.